touched by human hands?" he wondered aloud. "I don't know, my lord."
"You don't?"
"No, sir."
"Ah," said Vetinari. "Well, the dead are known to speak sometimes. Ouija boards and seances and so on. Who can say they wouldn't use the medium of the clacks?"
"Not me, sir."
"And you are clearly enjoying your new career, Mr. Lipwig?"
"Yes, sir."
"Good. On Monday, your duties will include the administration of the Grand Trunk. It is being taken over by the city."
"Oh, well. So much for future happiness."
"No, my lord," said Moist.
Vetinari raised an eyebrow.
"There is an alternative, Mr. Lipwig."
"It really is private property, sir. It belongs to the Deerhearts and the other people who built it."
"My, my, how the worm turns," said Vetinari. "But the trouble is, you see, they weren't good at business, only at mechanisms. Otherwise, they would have seen through guilt. The freedom to succeed goes hand in hand with the freedom to fail."
"It was robbery by numbers," said Moist. "It was find the lady done with ledgers. They didn't stand a chance."
Vetinari sighed. "You drive a hard bargain, Mr. Lipwig."
Moist, who wasn't aware he had tried to drive a bargain at all, said nothing.
"Oh, very well. The question of ownership will remain in abeyance for now, until we have plumbed the sordid depths of this affair. But what I truly meant was that a great many people depend on the trunk for their living. Out of sheer humanitarian considerations, we must do something.
Sort things out, postmaster."
"But I'm going to have my hands more than full with the post office," Moist protested.
"I hope you are.
But in my experience, the best way to get something done is to give it to someone who is busy," said Vetinari.
"In that case, I'm going to keep the Grand Trunk running," said Moist.
"In honour of the dead, perhaps," said Vetinari.
"Yes, as you wish.
Now, here is your stop."
As the coachman opened the door, Lord Vetinari leaned towards Moist.
"Oh, and before dawn, I do suggest you go and check that everyone's left the old Wizarding Tower," he said.
"What do you mean, sir?" said Moist.
He knew his face betrayed nothing.
Vetinari sat back.
"Well done, Mr. Lipwig."
There was a crowd outside the post office, and a cheer went up as Moist made his way to the doors. It was raining now, a grey, sooty drizzle that was little more than fog with a slight weight problem. Some of the staff were waiting inside. He realised the news hadn't got around. Even Ankh-Morpork's permanent rumour mill hadn't been able to beat him back from the university.
"What's happened, postmaster?" said Grote, his hands twisting together. "Have they won?"
"No," said Moist, but they picked up the edge in his voice.
"Have we won?"
"The Arch-Chancellor will have to decide that," said Moist. "I suppose we won't know for weeks. The Clax has been shut down, though. I'm sorry, it's all complicated." He left them standing and staring as he trudged up to his office, where Mr. Pump was standing in the corner.
"Good evening, Mr. Lipwig," the golem boomed.
Moist sat down and put his head in his hands. This was victory, but it didn't feel like it. It felt like a mess. The bets? Well, if Leadpipe got to Genua, you could make a case under the rules that he'd won. But Moist had a feeling that all bets were off now. That meant people would get their money back, at least. He'd have to keep the trunk going, gods knew how. He'd sort of promised a gnu, hadn't he? And it was amazing how people had come to rely on the clacks. He wouldn't know how Leadpipe had fared for weeks, and even Moist had got used to daily news from Genua. It was like having a finger cut off, but the clacks was a big, cumbersome monster of a thing. Too many towers, too many people, too much effort. There had to be a way of making it better and sleeker and cheaper. Or maybe it was something so big that no one could run it at a profit. Maybe it was like the post office. Maybe the profit turned up spread around the whole of society. Tomorrow, he'd have to take it all seriously. Proper mail runs. Many more staff. Hundreds of things to do, and hundreds of other things to do before you could do those things. It wasn't going to be fun anymore, cocking a snook, whatever a snook was, at the big, slow giant. He'd won, so he'd have to pick up the pieces, make everything work, and come in here the next day and do it all again. This wasn't how it was supposed to end. You won, and you pocketed the cash and walked away. That was how the game was supposed to go, wasn't it? His eye fell on Anghamrad's message box, on its twisted, corroded strap, and he wished he was at the bottom of the sea.
Mr. Lipwig.
He looked up. Drumknot, the clerk, was standing in the doorway, with another clerk behind him.
Yes? Sorry to disturb you, sir, said the clerk. We're here to see Mr. Pump. Just a minor adjustment, if you don't mind.
What? Oh, fine. Whatever. Go ahead.
Moist waved a hand vaguely. The two men